Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Partnership, The Making of Goldman Sachs by Charles D. Ellis, examines how a relatively small Wall Street firm evolved into one of the most influential financial institutions in the world. Written by a veteran investor and consultant, the book focuses less on market predictions and more on the organizational choices, leadership behaviors, and internal disciplines that shaped Goldman Sachs across decades. Ellis traces how a partnership culture built on apprenticeship, client service, risk awareness, and rigorous meritocracy could generate durability in a business defined by cycles, competition, and reputational fragility. The narrative highlights pivotal eras, including the firm's expansion beyond traditional investment banking, the rise of trading in global markets, and the governance pressures that came with size and public scrutiny. Rather than treating success as inevitable, the book frames it as a compounding outcome of talent selection, incentives, and a distinctive approach to teamwork. It is both a corporate history and a study of how culture can become strategy in finance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, origins and the early partnership blueprint, a central theme, is how Goldman Sachs began with a partnership model that shaped decision-making long before the firm became a modern financial powerhouse. Ellis emphasizes the formative impact of a structure where senior partners carried personal responsibility for outcomes and where reputation functioned as a core asset. In a partnership, capital is not just money but trust among colleagues and with clients, which encourages careful judgment, long-time horizons, and a deep sensitivity to reputational risk. The book explores how early leaders built credibility by focusing on client needs, underwriting standards, and relationship management, creating an institutional identity that could outlast individual rainmakers. This period also shows the value of internal training and apprenticeship. Promising professionals were developed through close observation, tough feedback, and escalating responsibility. Ellis presents the early firm as learning-oriented and disciplined, with advancement tied to performance and character. This foundation matters because it explains later choices, including how Goldman approached expansion, managed conflicts of interest, and maintained cohesion across offices. The early blueprint becomes a reference point for understanding what the firm tried to preserve, what it modified, and what it struggled to keep as markets and scale changed. Secondly, culture as an operating system, talent, teamwork, and meritocracy, Ellis treats Goldman Sachs as a case study in how culture can operate like an internal operating system, guiding thousands of daily decisions without constant top-down instruction. The book highlights practices designed to attract, evaluate, and retain top talent, including demanding standards, extensive mentorship, and a strong emphasis on teamwork. Goldman's culture is portrayed as intensely performance-driven but not purely individualistic. Success is framed as collective, with collaboration across product groups and geographies encouraged by both norms and incentives. A recurring idea is that the firm sought people who combined analytical rigor with client-facing credibility, and then placed them in environments where feedback was candid and continuous. Ellis also shows how the partnership mindset shaped behavior. Professionals were expected to think like owners, protect the franchise, and prioritize the long-term health of relationships. This theme includes the role of internal mobility, where individuals could be moved to meet strategic needs, and the importance of social cohesion in high-pressure settings. The reader sees how hiring, training, evaluation, and promotion policies can reinforce strategic goals, and how a strong culture can be both a competitive advantage and a source of blind spots when conditions change. Thirdly, client franchise and advisory credibility, another major topic, is how Goldman Sachs built a powerful client franchise by positioning itself as a trusted advisor, not merely a transaction processor. Ellis describes a business philosophy that emphasizes earning repeat business through reliability, discretion, and high-quality problem-solving. The book explores how advisory work in mergers, capital raising, and complex strategic decisions depends on credibility and deep client understanding, and how that credibility can be strengthened by institutional continuity rather than star dependence. Goldman's approach is shown as research and relationship intensive. Professionals are expected to know industries, anticipate client needs, and deliver insight that improves client outcomes. Ellis also addresses the inherent tensions in a financial intermediary's role, where the firm may face potential conflicts between its own interests and those of clients. The narrative suggests that managing those tensions is not only about rules, but also about norms, leadership expectations, and the repeated reinforcement of reputation-based decision-making. This topic underscores how a strong client franchise becomes a stabilizer during volatile markets, because trusted advisors remain relevant even when deal volumes fluctuate. It also explains why the firm invested heavily in talent and information, treating intellectual capital and relationships as compounding assets. Fourthly, risk, leverage, and the evolution of the business mix, Ellis examines how Goldman's business evolved from a primarily advisory and underwriting partnership into a broader institution with significant trading, investing, and global market activities. This evolution changed the firm's risk profile and required different systems, controls, and leadership capabilities. The book outlines how managing risk becomes more complex as a firm expands into activities with faster feedback loops, greater leverage, and more exposure to market swings. Ellis highlights the need for rigorous risk management frameworks, including limits, oversight, and a culture that allows concerns to travel upward quickly. He also shows how incentives and organizational structure influence risk behavior. What you measure, reward, and promote shapes what people optimize. The reader is prompted to consider how a firm can pursue growth without letting short-term gains undermine long-term resilience. This theme is especially relevant to understanding how elite financial institutions balance innovation with prudence and how they respond when markets stress test assumptions. Ellis presents risk management as both technical and cultural, involving quantitative tools as well as judgment, skepticism, and the willingness to say no. The evolution of Goldman's business mix becomes a lens for studying how strategy changes, what can go right, and what can go wrong. Lastly, governance, public scrutiny, and the challenge of scaling the partnership ethos. A defining question in the book is whether a partnership culture can survive as a firm grows larger, more global, and more visible. Ellis explores governance challenges that arise when decision makers are farther from day-to-day client work and when external stakeholders demand transparency and accountability. As Goldman's prominence increased, so did political attention, media scrutiny, and the expectations placed on leadership during crises and regulatory shifts. The book discusses how scaling requires formalization, more processes, more committees, and more explicit controls. Yet formalization can dilute the informal trust and shared norms that made the partnership model effective. Ellis considers how leaders attempted to preserve ownership, thinking, teamwork, and client-first behavior while operating in a world where size and complexity push organizations toward bureaucracy. This topic also addresses the reputational dimension of finance. A firm can be technically capable and still be vulnerable if public perception hardens against it. The reader gains insight into the trade-offs between agility and control, discretion and disclosure, and internal cohesion and external legitimacy. Ultimately, Ellis frames governance as a continuous effort to align incentives, behavior, and long-term franchise value in an environment that rarely stays still. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want to understand how an elite financial institution is built, including investors, business leaders, entrepreneurs, MBA candidates, and anyone curious about Wall Street beyond headlines. It is also valuable for professionals in consulting, law, or technology who work with large client service organizations and want to see how culture, incentives, and governance shape performance. The practical benefit is that Ellis translates a famous firm's history into broader lessons about hiring for character and capability, developing talent through apprenticeship, protecting reputation as a strategic asset, and designing decision systems that hold up under stress. Even readers who never work in finance can apply the ideas to building high-trust teams and making long-horizon choices in competitive environments. Compared with many business books that rely on simplified formulas, this one stands out because it grounds its insights in a long institutional story, showing how advantages are built incrementally and tested repeatedly. It is worth buying if you want an integrated view of strategy, culture, and risk in a real organization, and if you prefer nuanced trade-offs over motivational slogans. If you would like to support Charles D. Ellis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.